There, do you have any idea what you're listening to?
London Philharmonic?
It's Venus.
Huh?
Venus.
Why not? We bounced signals off the moon's surface. There's no reason that Venus shouldn't radiate impulses.
I don't mean the static. Can't you hear it, the other thing?
What other thing?
Listen to it, Paul. Listen to the voice.
Hello and welcome to Media Geek. This is your weekly look at the world of grassroots and independent media, as well as a critical examination of our media environment. My name is Paul Riesmanel, and I'm your host. On today's program, Porn Free. Our man keeping tabs on the FCC, Matthew Lessar, is here again to talk about the FCC's plan for a cost-free and porn-free wireless internet service and other important stuff that flies under the mainstream radar. You do want to stay tuned. Matthew, thanks again for joining me there from your basement there in San Francisco, where you've been keeping watch of the FCC and on the FCC for us, which we greatly appreciate, and reporting for the website ArsTechnica.com. And there's at least a couple of issues that are big, I think, right now, and they're really not getting any coverage except for what you're writing up. There's both having to do with our spectrum. Both having to do with, you know, the electromagnetic spectrum, which is used and parceled up for all sorts of different communication uses. The so-called D-block, and something which I'm really only reading about based upon what you publish at Ars Technica, the AWS service.
Well, first of all, I'd like your readers to know that in case their eyes are already glazing over from this conversation. I just want you to stay tuned because the AWS service is about pornography.
Okay, that's right.
So stay tuned because we're going to talk about pornography. So I hope that that will keep your attention for a little while. We're going to talk about a much more important thing first, however. We're going to talk about public safety and the possibility of the United States having a service which allows all public safety agencies in the United States to very easily communicate with each other, which is slightly more important and significant than pornography. But that's later on, so stay tuned for that. The D-block is, of course, part of the FCC's project to get that public safety network up and going. And the 700 megahertz was, until very recently, occupied by a whole lot of analog TV stations. But they are all leaving, and to the extent that they haven't left, they're going to leave. And in March of this year, the Federal Communications Commission held a humongous auction of all of that spectrum in the 700 megahertz area. And that's about 695 to about 806 megahertz, actually. And they auctioned a whole boatload of it off to actually a very small number of companies, Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, I think Qualcomm, and a couple of others, and about 70 or 80 smaller companies which got a little piece of it. But they auctioned it off for the amazing sum of $19.6 billion. And the purpose of that spectrum mostly is for commercial use. When they cordon it off, they cordon it off into blocks. When they sell it off, they sell it into blocks. There was the A block, the B block, which is part of the spectrum, the C block, which is an important part of the spectrum because it was the open device part of the spectrum, where they're requiring Verizon, which bought the C block, to basically allow any kind of application to be used to access that wireless spectrum. They're all going to use this basically for all kinds of wireless and broadband applications. And then there was the E block, and then there was the D block. And the D block was reserved for an interoperable national public safety service. That's what it was supposed to be. And all this comes out of 9/11 and the experience of September 11th in New York City and Hurricane Katrina, and the fact that a lot of public safety agencies could not communicate with each other. The police couldn't communicate with fire. They couldn't communicate with medical. Everybody had their own walkie-talkie system, their own video system. And so the idea was, and still is, let's make an interoperable system which everybody can access, and it's broadband. It's not narrowband. It's not wideband. Narrowband being walkie-talkies, wideband being video. It's broadband, so we can all use it just like we use our computers, and we can basically all communicate with each other, and it's interoperable. That's one of the that was one of the things which the 9/11 Commission called for. So this was presented, and it was presented to Congress, but unfortunately, it was presented to Congress in the age of Ronald Reagan, Bill Clinton, Newt Gingrich, and George W. Bush. If this was, I think, the age of Lyndon Johnson or Franklin Roosevelt or even Theodore Roosevelt or, you know, Harry Truman, they would say, well, of course, this is a tremendous public necessity, so let's have Congress fund it, right? You know, we'll put a bunch of money into it, you know, 1/8% of what we spend in Iraq a month, and we'll fund a national interoperable public safety system in somewhere in the 700 megahertz. But this is the age of Newt Gingrich. So what they did was they proposed a Congress proposed was that the FCC should do this as a private system, a privatized system. So somebody would in this auction would buy the D block, buy this part of the spectrum, and then they would share the spectrum with a bunch of public safety agencies, and they would lease that part of the spectrum for commercial purposes. They could use that part of the spectrum for commercial purposes, and they'd share it with public safety agencies, and they'd pay this public safety nonprofit money to lease the spectrum when there wasn't any emergency thing going on. And then when there was an emergency thing going on, they'd ditch out for a little while, and then they'd come back. And so it was basically a public-private partnership. That was the D-block idea, and it was the only part of the 700 megahertz auction that failed.
And failed, and by failed you mean no one won. There were no one made a sufficient bid.
The FCC established a reserve price, basically said that the FCC would not sell this off unless it got a minimal price of $1.33 billion for it. And nobody would bid it. The FCC subsequently did an audit of the D block bid. And, you know, why is it that nobody would bid it? And they went to the most important bidders. And the bidders said, basically, we don't think we could make money doing this. We're afraid that what will happen is that we'll share this with the public safety agencies. They'll charge us much, much too much money to lease it. You know, there'll be too many conditions. When we manage this area, the public safety agencies will complain that we're not managing it well enough. We'll lose a lot of money. We'll get fined by the FCC. We're scared. We don't think that we can make a go of this. And so the result was that nobody bid on the D block, and it failed. And the FCC then ran a new notice of proposed rulemaking, which is to say a comment cycle asking the public, what should we do about this? And people proposed various things. And they held a big hearing, actually, in New York City, in Brooklyn, about a month ago, which I listened to on the FCC's website. And one of the things that a lot of public safety agencies said to the FCC is, we don't like this national coast-to-coast system. We want to access that spectrum, building it up in our own area. Philadelphia wrote this. San Francisco wrote this. And most importantly, New York wrote this. New York, with all its 9/11 gravitas, the fire department and police department of New York wrote this to the FCC. Says we want to do this on a regional level, and we want to have, and maybe it would be a good idea to have some kind of a national coordinator coordinating all of these different groups to build it up with the same standard. But we want to do this on a regional level and not have to deal with it on a national level. And this was a big deal in terms of rebuking the basic national public safety network concept. What's interesting is that almost everybody, including FCC Chair Kevin Martin, well, not everybody, but lots of people have said, you know, gee, it's really too bad that Congress isn't willing to fund this, because this is a really hard thing to do without public funding. I mean, this is one of those things that's not – I mean, this is one of the things that's not supposed to be left to the market. I mean, this is something that should happen. It shouldn't depend upon the vicissitudes of the market. in order for this to happen. And yet here it is, that very thing is happening. So anyway, the FCC has now is now circulating, according to the I had a long conversation with the people at the FCC about this. They're now circulating a very complicated proposal in which the spectrum, that area of the spectrum, it's about 20 megahertz, I think. 20, and when you're out there, you out there who are listening to this and don't know what 20 megahertz means, it's about the size of the FM band, 20 megahertz, I think. And when they're talking about auctioning it now, what they're talking about is they'll auction, they're going to do a national auction, but at the same time, they're going to do 58 regional auctions. And if the national auction doesn't work, and the 58 regional auctions do raise a certain minimal amount of money, then it will go to this regional system. I don't want to get any further.
Sure, but that would mean that they are hoping that a company will come forward and say, well, I'm interested in offering up this service in Philadelphia, and we're interested in doing it in Houston, and put forward a sufficient amount of money to win that spectrum for their own use, while also then making it available for public safety. Is that pretty much it?
That's right. That's pretty much it.
And the FCC would play some role in the middle, I guess, trying to make sure that should there be another Katrina or other similar emergency, that perhaps the public safety officials in Louisiana can talk to the public safety officials in Mississippi or Texas.
There is a concern about interoperable standards. What's going to happen in this bid is that people are going to be able to bid for one or the other, but the one that gets the most bids will become the national standard. I don't think the FCC is going to allow both of these different kinds of wireless systems to become to interoperate with each other. I think there's going to be only one standard, and part of the mechanism of the auction is to decide which standard is going to be used. It's obviously part of a struggle to build a national consensus on how to build a national or national-like interoperable public safety system. And I think that what the FCC is also going to do is they're going to create, if it turns out to be a 58 regional system, that they're going to create standards for intercommunication and for platform interoperability, which will be managed by some public safety agency.
Well, Matthew, you promised the people you would talk about pornography.
Yeah. Well, Kevin Martin, the chair of the FCC, and I'm liking this guy these days, especially after that Comcast sanctioning. And I'm liking his creativity, and I'm liking his unpredictability. And he has a proposal, which I can't say I actually support, but I think it's kind of fun and interesting, and it raises a lot of interesting issues. Ever since about 2006, there's a rather interesting company out there called the M2Z Network, which proposed the following. Since everybody is so concerned about pornography on the internet and what to do about pornography on the internet and how pretty pornographic the internet can get and is getting, why don't we create a national free broadband service in a specific part of the spectrum which people can access through a small attachment on their computer for free. It will be funded by commercials, and it will be filtered for pornography. In other words, it will be a free system. It will be free broadband. It will be auctioned out. It would be a national service, and it would be filtered for pornography. The FCC's news release says it would be filtered to protect children, but if you look in there, notice of proposed rulemaking, it definitely uses the word pornography. And the proposal is currently going through the notice of proposed rulemaking process as we speak. And what's very interesting is that when N2Z first proposed this, it's a company down in Palo Alto near where I live, when it got an enormous amount of support from all kinds of people, from United States senators. Orrin Hatch wrote a nice little statement about it. Everybody talked about what a great idea it was. It got the Republican Committee of Mississippi and Louisiana and congressmen and famous social reformers, wrote to the FCC and said it was a great idea. At that time, M2Z was just asking for them to give them the spectrum. And the big wireless companies went ape bleep over this issue. They basically said that it is an unprecedented thing for you to just give the spectrum to somebody. It has to be auctioned out. And so, although I think Kevin Martin was sympathetic to the concept, he wouldn't just give it to M2Z. And then he proposed a notice of proposed rulemaking, which was recently released by the FCC, in which the proposal, as I just outlined it, would happen. Basically, companies would bid to provide this national, free, smutless broadband service across the United States in the 2155 to 2180 megahertz region. The big wireless companies are once again going crazy over this, especially T-Mobile, but all of them are really just in harsh opposition, and they are claiming interference. This area is called the Advanced Wireless Services Spectrum, and in 2006, before that huge 700 megahertz spectrum thing happened, in 2006, there was an AWS, Advanced Wireless Services, number one area spectrum, which is close to the area where MTZ is proposed, where Martin has proposed this smutless free broadband service. In 2006, there was a big sell-off of a whole bunch of spectrum nearby that area, in which T-Mobile spent about $4 billion on buying that spectrum. And they're in the forefront of charging that what Kevin Martin wants to do with this service will interfere with the spectrum that it already bought. And last week, for 3 days, the FCC relented, and its Office of Engineering and Technology did a big set of tests in the Boeing Aircraft Testing Center up in Seattle to test whether T-Mobile's claims are true. And T-Mobile has already issued me a press release saying that it's absolutely true, that it's going to interfere, and we can't do it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And M2Z has argued that it's perfectly doable, and that the real reason why Verizon and T-Mobile and AT&T and all these other companies are crying interference is because what they're not really afraid of interference, they're afraid of competition. They're really afraid of a low power but effective free broadband service, and that will certainly be competition with, for example, DSL, the DSL service that AT&T provides in large portions of the United States. So there's that charge, and there's the interference charge, and there's the competition counter charge. On top of that, there's a bunch of folks, about 25 or 26 organizations, that have basically said, you know, this is probably against the First Amendment, this concept of filtering out the government sanctioning a service to filter out a big portion of the internet for pornography. And a whole lot of organizations have filed with the FCC and basically said that if you do this, it's just basically going to be a target for First Amendment lawsuits, and it won't work anyway. They're not buying. I don't think that any of these organizations, the American Booksellers Organization, a whole lot of trade groups and internet civil liberty type groups. I think that the Electronic Frontier Foundation is in on this, and I don't think that they're challenging the basic concept of a free broadband service up there. I think that what their big issue is the First Amendment concerns that it raises. It is a little known fact about that Supreme Court decision that is a big part of the demonology of us civil libertarians, Pacifica versus FCC. There was one good thing about Pacifica versus FCC in 1978. That's the George Carlin Seven Dirty Words case, in which the Supreme Court gave the FCC the right to punish broadcasters for quote-unquote indecency. And that is that Pacifica versus FCC did say that the FCC can't stop programming in advance. It's only after the fact that the FCC can punish broadcasters. It can't say to programmers and broadcasters, I want to see what you got here before you broadcast.
Right, no prior restraint, as it's called.
No prior restraint.
First Amendment law, yeah.
Yeah, so that's an important part of Pacifica versus FCC, and these groups are invoking that and saying this is basically a form of prior restraint, the government basically filtering, you know, licensing this out and ordering this, basically telling this whoever buys the spectrum that they have to filter out this area. So right now, the Office of Engineering and Technology is evaluating the claims that it will cause interference in T-Mobile's spectrum and other spectrum around the area. I don't know where this is going. I think that Kevin Martin is pretty determined to do this. He really feels like it's very important. And there's a whole lot of people out there who are sort of saying, well, you know, I like having a freewheeling internet. I like having a real freewheeling broadband. But it would be nice if there was this one part of the internet where I knew that my kids couldn't see that, see the rather disturbing stuff. Which,
well, wouldn't you say if you were one of Kevin Martin's free market pals, wouldn't you say, well, then there's a ripe opportunity for somebody to, you know, to buy up this spectrum, to win an auction for it, and then on their own choose to offer a network which was pre-filtered.
Well, that's right. That's a good point.
Kind of like the video in Utah that would edit out the nude scenes and naughty words from the DVDs and VHS tapes that it was renting.
That sounds exactly right. This fight has interestingly pitted the two wings of conservative America against each other in some ways, and particularly the Republican Party, of which Kevin Martin is a member. The free market corporate wing versus the moral majority wing. Interestingly, right now the moral majority wing isn't saying very much about this. Kevin Martin recently appeared before the House Commerce and Science Committee, and he found that a whole lot of Republicans, including Clifford Stearns of Florida and Joe Barton of Texas, I think, were pretty down on this. And I watched that. I watched that that hearing, and they were basically just reading wireless company press conferences to Kevin Martin, and he looked really crabby about this. Because one of the things that's really important to understanding Kevin Martin, the chair of the FCC, is that when it comes to the moral majority philosophy, he's truly drunk the Kool-Aid on that issue. He is a moral majority kind of person. You know, a lot of what he does and says at the FCC cannot be understood in terms of economics. It needs to be understood in terms of moral majority politics. That's the reason why he supports a la carte cable. It's one of the reasons why he supported the XM Sirius merger, is because XM and Sirius promised that they would provide a la carte services to their listeners so that they could tune out Howard Stern. So if you want to understand
And tune out Howard Stern and not pay for it either.
And not pay for it either, right. So if you want to understand Kevin Martin and you want to understand a lot of the fights he's having with the cable industry, which, you know, everybody says that Kevin Martin hates cable. I don't think it's so much that he hates cable. It's that he has a set of agendas that require him to challenge the cable industry in certain ways, especially around the a la carte issue. And so this is all playing out in very complicated, interesting ways. I don't know where this AWS smut-free wireless service is going to go. I do know that I've been having a lot of fun writing about it. We recently ran a story about the Seattle test titled Smutless in Seattle. And my editor, Eric Bangerman, had a whole lot of fun jimmying up a Sleepless in Seattle movie poster and turning it into a Smutless in Seattle movie poster. That's where it's at.
And real quick, is this something which he has broad support for amongst the other commissioners? It would seem that Michael Copps, who himself has been joined with Kevin Martin frequently on the issue of broadcast indecency, may join with him on this as well. He seems to always like opportunities to quote-unquote protect the children. Are others joining in?
I would say that if Martin has a 3-2 majority, never mind a 4-1 majority, but if he has a 3-2 majority on this, where he's going to get it from is he's going to get it from Michael Copps, and he's going to get it from his fellow Republican, Deborah Taylor Tate.
Yes.
He's not going to get it from Robert M. McDowell. The two of them are already feuding rather nastily over the Comcast decision about net neutrality. He's not going to get that from Robert McDowell. Maybe he'll get it from Jonathan Adelson, who is a little bit more civil liberties than Michael Copps is, I think. But if he's got a majority on this, he's got it from Deborah Taylor Tate, and he's got it from Michael Copps. So once again, we have a situation in which partisan politics is really being transcended at the FCC, whether you agree with this smutless free broadband wireless proposal or not. Partisan politics is really being transcended at the FCC, and it's a really fascinating moment.
Well, Matthew, thanks again. I appreciate your good work keeping track of what's going on at the FCC, and it's always a pleasure to have you on here.
Thank you very much, and it's always a pleasure to speak to you.
And that's Matthew Lessard, an independent historian who also teaches broadcasting and telecommunications history at the University of California at Santa Cruz. Matthew's website is the Lessard Letter on the FCC at Lessard Letter. LASARLETTER.com. But more often these days, you can find him writing for the excellent tech news site ArsTechnica.com. That's ArsTechnica.com. And that brings to a close another edition of Media Geek. I will be back in one more week with more news and views on our media environment. And obviously today that was all about the news, because I think it's important for us to know what goes on in Washington, what goes on at the FCC, all these things which do affect our ability to communicate and receive good communications, for us to exchange information and to know what is going on in our world and the world around us, whether it's safety information, whether it's cultural information, whether it's news or other things which can affect our very daily life. The decisions happening at the FCC, happening in legislatures, often happening in state houses, happening in boardrooms, all affect this ability, and they just don't get covered in a way which highlights how they're important to daily life and important, frankly, to democracy. They're covered like business stories only. And while there is business at stake and there is money at stake, so is our very communications freedom, our freedom of speech. And so that's why I talk to people like Matthew Lessard here on Media Geek, and I hope that's one reason why you tune in addition to hear about all the great things going on in independent media and grassroots media. It's a big wide world there, and I hope to share a little bit of it with you in the hope that you will also be inspired, go out to seek these things out, to go find and read and view and listen to more independent media, and maybe go and create some yourself. And the Media Geek website, another place where I do that, it's the home of the Media Geek blog at MediaGeek.net. And the radio show is at Radio.MediaGeek.net. You can download it, or you can subscribe to the podcast or listen to it right there in your browser. As well, the Media Geek radio show is free to air for any non-commercial station, radio station, or internet station. It's there at radio.mediageek.net, but I hope that you'll drop me a line, paul@mediageek.net, to let me know that you're playing and I'll add you to the rundown and maybe even mention you at the end of the show, mention your station, a station like Radio Free Moscow, KRFP, in Moscow, Idaho, or WVEW in Brattleboro, Vermont. And Media Geek got its start at community radio station WEFT in Champaign, Illinois at 90.1 FM. You can listen there live Fridays, 5:30 p.m. if you're in Champaign, or on the internet at weft.org. And of course, the rest of the time, it's at radio.mediageek.net. Thanks so much for tuning in.